one of the things I try to do with all my clinic participants is warn them for obstacles that can occur over time. Initially, I'm warning about physical withdrawals that may occur. Then I cover areas like holidays that can trigger responses, and just special events, different kinds of stresses that can cause, you know, reactions where you want a cigarette. Another thing that I try to warn them about is reactions they may get from other people. A lot of times everybody thinks, well, people will just be supportive when they try to quit smoking. People will try to help them. And there's going to be a lot of people who will try to help, but there are some people who are threatened when you quit smoking. One group of people who often are threatened are people you know who are still smokers around you. A lot of times what's happening now is there's fewer and fewer smokers, meaning as more and more people quit, the ones who are left are becoming that much more isolated. And when you become the person who quits, this can become a very threatening proposition to people who were left around you, who had some sort of consolation that at least you were still smoking with them. They weren't alone. When a person quits smoking and there's only a few smokers left, you will often find that those few smokers, or again, sometimes it's the one smoker left, is going to try to do little things, will try to undercut your ability to quit. Now, you've got to understand the reason why they're doing that. They're not doing it because they hate you. They're not doing it to, you know, torture you. They're not doing it because they want you to die. This isn't it. It's just you're doing something at that moment in time that they can't do. If anything, they feel pretty inferior to you. And there's two ways for them to feel equal to you at this moment in time. One way is, well, they can quit smoking. Then they'll be just like you. Another thing is, you can go back to smoking. Then, again, they'll be just like you. What do you think sounds easier to a smoker who doesn't believe they can quit, who is just hopefully addicted as far as they're concerned? The only way for them to reach equality, if they can't quit, which again is their false premise, but that's what they believe, is for you to be a smoker again. I had one situation. I had a woman come into a clinic. I think it was the third day of the clinic. And she came in, and she looked terrible. I'm not talking about a withdrawal kind of terrible. She just looked so down, so despondent. And I could just see something was wrong with her. And I asked her, you know, what was wrong? And she just said, oh, she just had a terrible incident at work that day. And I said, well, what happened? And this is with the group. We were basically going around introductions, and I just saw she was sheepish when she was going to introduce, and she was leery of whether she should say what happened at work today. And I said, well, what occurred? She said, well, she's a teacher, and I think it was a junior high level teacher. She said she was in the teacher's lounge, and she was pouring water into a pot to make coffee. The water was still cold, and she was going to put it over a heating surface so she could, you know, heat this up for coffee. And she said, so she's pouring this water, you know, into this pitcher, and this teacher comes up to her, and she knew she was quitting smoking. She told a few people, and this one teacher who came up to her and said, how's it going? And she said, oh, it's okay. It's a little tough, but I'm okay. And she said, well, this still sounds like it's really hard. You know, maybe this isn't the time. And she says, no, I'm doing this. I'm going to quit. She says, and now the other teacher says, you know, this probably isn't the right time. Here, why don't you have a cigarette? Now, the teacher who was in the clinic was pretty firm here. She said, no, I'm really doing this. I'm going to succeed. You know, I know it's hard at the moment, but this is worth it. I don't want the cigarette. That should have been the end of the conversation. Well, it wasn't the end of the conversation. The teacher, who was still a smoker, started now giving her more and more encouragement, saying, oh, come on, you're never going to make it. You know you're not going to make it. You're torturing yourself for nothing. Here, have a cigarette. And she's reaching out with a package of cigarettes. And again, the teacher who's in the clinic is saying, no, I don't want the cigarette. I'm done. You know, and she's trying to be polite. She's saying, I don't want to smoke. Well, this other teacher doesn't let up. She keeps going. She keeps on trying to coax her to smoke. And the teacher now in the clinic is getting more and more angry. And she's basically saying, get out of here. Leave me alone. I don't want to smoke. I don't want your cigarette. And this lady wouldn't give up. She kept on going. Well, the teacher who was, again, in the clinic, finally, she said, I couldn't take it anymore. I was so mad. I'm trying not to smoke. And she keeps thrusting the cigarette at me. She said she was so mad that she took the water, she took the pitcher, and she threw the water over this other teacher in the teacher's lounge, totally drenching her. And she said, She was horrified when she realized what she did. You know, this was like an assault, she figured she did. You know, but she threw this pitcher of water on this other teacher in a teacher's lounge. You know, this is where she worked. This is a professional organization. She's throwing water on the other teacher. Well, the teacher who was doing this coaxing, the smoke, was just horrified and started screaming at her. And then she leaves the lounge just really upset, this teacher who's all wet, because she's covered. She's soaked with water. And when the woman in the clinic now told this story, everyone in the clinic just applauded. You know, they just thought, you know, they were surprised she didn't throw the pitcher at her, just throwing the water at her. They wished they were there with a fire hose to finish off this lady. You know, she wasn't wet enough as far as they were concerned. But the teacher in the clinic was scared because she said, this teacher now went around to everyone in the school and said, what a crazy lady. You know, she was, and she went and she assaulted her. She threw water all over her. And she said she was worried. She was afraid to go back to school the next day, you know, that she was really in trouble for this. And I said, if what you described is what happened, you know, I don't think you're going to have a lot of problem here. But she was scared. She thought she was in trouble. And again, this was near the, it was, I think, near the last period of the day. So she hadn't had a whole lot of interaction with other teachers after this event. She was scared. She was scared to go to school the next day. And again, when she was in the clinic, she was still, you know, talking about this. When she came in the following day, and she came in and I asked, you know, how things were, she said, oh, it was fine. And she said, what happened? When she was going to the school the next morning, the principal is standing in the door when she's walking in. And, like, he's just staring at her, and she's walking in closer and closer. And she's thinking, oh my God, I'm getting fired, you know. She really thought she was in trouble for, you know, what she had done. Well, the principal sees her, and he's just watching her. She gets in the door. He looks at her, kind of smiles, and says, hey, I heard you quit smoking. Congratulations. And kind of shook her hand and just walked away. Didn't say anything else. And then throughout the rest of the day, people were coming up and congratulating her for not smoking. What happened was, there were a number of people in this lounge when this whole thing was transpiring. There were smokers in that lounge. There were non-smokers in that lounge, all teachers. There were ex-smokers in that lounge. They witnessed it. I think a lot of them felt bad that they didn't step in, that they, you know, they saw what was going on, and this was an inappropriate action that this other woman was taking, you know, trying to force this poor woman to smoke who didn't want to smoke. And while this one teacher was going around saying how nuts, you know, this person was, everybody else was going around and saying exactly what happened, that this, you know, she was trying to be restrained. She was trying to say, no, she didn't want it, but she kept getting offered a cigarette before she finally snapped. She got tremendous support that throughout that day, you know, for what she had done. Not that she had thrown the water, you know, that was just something that occurred, but the fact that she quit smoking and sustained it, and she did fine. Since then, I had come up with a technique which I thought much safer than, you know, assaulting somebody with a pitcher of water. And it's one technique that I suggest in all my clinics. And if anybody is ever offered a cigarette after they've quit smoking, in the beginning, the first offer, again, it could be innocent. The person may not know you've quit smoking. That's a possibility. But if somebody offers you a cigarette after you quit, you should politely but firmly say, no, I don't smoke anymore. You know, I don't want this. That should be the end of the conversation. If it isn't, if the person keeps on offering, the next time, a little bit more forcibly, say, no, I don't smoke anymore. I don't want it. You may even go a third time. But if the offer goes beyond a third time, it's time to change your tactic. Look at the person a little bit defeated. Just like, you can't take it anymore, you know. The person's right. They must be right. You must have to smoke. And just look at them and say, all right, you really don't want the cigarette? It's okay to have the cigarette? And they're going to go along. Of course they're going to go along. They've gone through this effort now to get you to smoke. You sure you don't want the cigarette? You don't need this? And again, they're going to throw this thing in your face. Well, they'll say, okay, take the cigarette, still looking a little bit dejected, like you're about to light it up, and smash it in front of them. Just smash it, demolish it, get all tobacco out of it, and throw it right in the garbage. Now, if the person is dumb enough to fall for this step, you could say, wow, That felt pretty good. Do you have another one? They're probably not going to do it, but if they're really, you know, bent on getting you to smoke, they may come up with another cigarette. Well, you know what? Take that one and destroy it, too. In fact, take as many as they'll give. Actually, you may want to just say, you know, this really is taking a long time this way. Why don't you give me the whole pack and I'll destroy that? I can assure you, if you destroy one or two cigarettes, or you get their pack and destroy them, this offer will not be made again. Cigarettes are too expensive to play this game with. And the fact is, you will get a certain amount of enjoyment out of the destruction of the cigarette, and you'll be showing that person, too, how important the cigarette is to them. They need it. You don't. This isn't anything that I would make a stand on if they weren't doing this to you. But the fact that they're making that kind of motion, that they're trying to undercut you, just make it very clear to them, you know, they're not going to win on this one. They're going to lose their cigarettes, and basically they're losing face the whole time this is going on. It is an action that will only happen once if taken that direction. Another thing is, if you live with smokers, you may find sometimes that they will leave cigarettes around after they quit smoking. Now, you can't make another person quit smoking. You've got to quit for yourself when you quit. Well, the same thing holds true for other people. They have to quit for themselves. When you're first quitting, ask them politely, your family members, when they leave the home, please take your cigarettes with them. Everybody's afraid how hard it's going to be when they quit smoking, when they're around people who smoke. When you're around people who smoke, it won't be that bad if you really watch them smoke. You see, if you watch them like the first one, it might tempt you. But watch them 10 or 15 more minutes, they'll light another one. Watch them another 15, 20 minutes, they'll light another one. Watch them a little bit longer, they'll light another one. And pretty soon you'll see something. They're smoking in a way that you don't want to smoke. They are smoking in a way that they don't want to smoke. They don't have a choice. You do. You could smoke just like them if you want. You could smoke them under the table if you want. You also have the option of not smoking. They don't have this option at that point in time. By learning to watch a person smoke, you can use that as your reinforcement not to have the cigarette. When it's tough, though, it's not when people are smoking around you. It's when you're home alone and nobody else is around and the cigarettes are there, that they can be very tempting. That's why it's a good idea when you're first quitting to ask family members who have cigarettes, or roommates, or whoever it is you live with, if they have cigarettes in the home, tell them, please will you take them with you when you leave. You're not asking them not to smoke. You're not telling them not to smoke. You're just saying not to leave cigarettes around when they leave. Explain to them very nicely. It's too tempting for me right now. I don't want them here. Please take them with you. Now, if the first day you do this, cigarettes are still present, destroy them. Just destroy them. If you feel really guilty, well, give them the $5 for the pack. But say that's the last time you're doing that. Although, if you gave them fair warning, you may not even have to go that far. That's going to be your decision whether you want to do that. But afterwards, explain to them. If they leave cigarettes there, when they get home, they're not going to be there anymore. Now, whether you smoke them or whether you destroy them, it really doesn't make a difference. They're still not getting to their cigarettes. But going through little actions like that, again, cigarettes are too expensive for people to just play this game of trying to do this little undercutting you if it's going to cost them too much money in the process. So basically, don't leave cigarettes around you when you are first quitting smoking. Now, over time, that's going to be a personal decision, whether you want people to have cigarettes in the home or not. It's going to be your decision whether you want them to smoke in your home or not. The fact is, you can be around people, and it's not going to cause you to go back to smoking. The only thing that can cause that is you taking a cigarette. One other situation I'm going to point out here. There are times when family members will actually request that you'll go back to smoking. It's interesting, because I'll often see it where kids will push parents to take a cigarette. It's not that often that it's the other direction. And what it is, it's like a person that's quitting smoking, they're in a really crummy mood, they're miserable, they may be crying, they might be having emotional outbursts, and the kid will see the parent in this kind of state and think, oh, come on, if this is what you're like. You know, the parent will give the kid a hard time about something the kid did, and something that they very well deserve to be given a hard time about. But the kid's going to interpret that to be, oh, that's because you quit smoking that you're so nasty right now. If this is what you're like as a non-smoker, and this is the way it can come out, if this is the way you're like as a non-smoker, well, just go back to smoking. And people will flippantly say this kind of commentary to an individual who is quitting smoking. And again, it may be justified that the person did something, or that the person is acting nasty because of the quitting process. Justified that the person is angry at them, but not justified to put them back to smoking. I always equate that, it's like if you got a family member or friend who's got cancer, really bad cancer that they're going to chemotherapy for in an effort to save their life. Now, if you talk to most people on chemotherapy, they're in pretty miserable moods. They're losing their hair. They can't hold down food. They're feeling terrible. They're irritable. They're cranky. Now, hopefully you don't have the family members looking at these people when they're in the middle of a treatment cycle and having these horrible, horrible side effects and saying, oh, come on, this is what you're like on chemo. Get off this stuff. Because what they're basically saying to this person is drop dead. They're saying, like, give up the treatment that can save your life because you're a little bit irritable and you're kind of ruining my day right now. And see, people won't do that generally to someone in chemotherapy. They realize this person's fighting for their life. You know, they see the importance. But let's understand, when a person is quitting smoking, they're fighting for their life. They're trying to avoid ever having to have chemotherapy. They're trying to take the one step they can to minimize the risk more than anything else they could do of reducing the risk of having cancer by stopping smoking. But often, other people aren't going to acknowledge that or recognize that. Bottom line is, it's not important that other people recognize it. What's important is the individual smoker who is quitting recognizes it. And you know what? If someone offers you a cigarette and you were to take the cigarette, it wouldn't be the person's fault who offered it. It would be the person's fault who took it. That would be the problem there. I was starting to say earlier that I will often see kids who push parents in that direction, you know, if that's how they're going to react. But I don't see it that often the other direction. I don't see parents telling their kids, oh man, this is what you're like, go back to smoking. Parents had gone through teenage years with kids. They had gone through when they were in this rebellious stage or nasty stages, and there was never a time where they wanted the kid to do something to hurt themselves. There was never a time that they wanted them to take up a drug because of how nasty they were, you know, an illegal drug or a recreational drug. They've gone through that phase of development, and they realize, you know, if they understand what the implication is, they don't want their kid ending their life prematurely for anything, no matter how old this kid gets to be. So it's very rare that I'll see parents trying to push a kid back to smoking. But the other direction, I don't think that same mechanism is formed in some adult children of recognizing how important what this family member is doing. Now again, if the parent who is quitting smoking is a cardiac patient or a person who's under treatment for cancer, then maybe the kids take it seriously. But if you're dealing with a healthy adult who is quitting smoking, sometimes the adult children don't recognize the implication of how important what they're doing at this moment in time are. But again, as I said before, it's not important that other people recognize. It's important that every individual who is quitting smoking recognizes what they're doing. They are fighting for their health by quitting smoking. They are fighting for their life by quitting smoking. And the way that they will win that fight, every single time, the way they will win a fight of keeping that quit alive and well, and them likely alive and well with it, is by making and sticking to a personal commitment, no matter what other people are saying around them, to their own personal commitment to never take another puff